Thank you guys so much for being here, Dave. I'm gonna let the song keep playing because it kind of rocks out a little bit. I like it. Money, money, money. So we are talking about stacks on stacks. And if you don't know what that means you got a lot of money. Okay, it's a new way of saying you're rich. You have stacks on stacks of money. And so some of you are wondering if you're come to Village Heights regularly. You sat through the last series. Hannah mentioned it. We went through pride. We talked about pride and how what that does to us and just how meaningful it is to our lives and how it changes us. And it was a hard series to go through. And so you're like, okay, Bill, we just went through pride. Why are we talking about money now? Okay. You're like, that hurt a little bit. So why are you going to talk about another difficult thing right in a row? So let me put it this way. If a company has a product and they want to send it to market, and they want it to be profitable, what are they going to do? They're going to test their product. They're going to prove upon it. They're going to make adjustments, make things, and they got to use it, and they got to try new things with it. You are a product of God, okay? And so because of that, God wants you to be the best product you can be to this world. So when we're on a roll, we're going to keep rolling, okay? When we're on a roll of keep testing your product, testing who you are and changing you and making you the best that you can be for God in this world, we're going to keep rolling. So that's why we're talking this. So be the best product of God that you can be. So let's get into it. When you were a kid, all of us were kids, we wanted to be rich, right? Right? Anybody disagree? Right. Okay, we all wanted to be rich. And when you were a kid, your idea of rich, it's a little different from now. See, when I was a kid, the idea of rich is so vastly different, so skewed. I was so ignorant to what really rich was. You ever seen Home Alone 2, Lost in New York? Anybody seen that one? Okay. You know the point where, like, he gets the cheese pizza and he gets in the stretch limousine? I was like, this is the epitome of rich. This is amazing. That's the height of luxury in life. A cheese pizza in a limo riding through New York. As a kid, we have these weird, weird ideas, and we think about, if I were rich, I would do this. There's another one called blank check. You know, it's a kid that gets a blank check, and they can write out whatever they want. Just the craziness that happens and ensues from it. We always think, if I were rich, I would. And as we grow older, it changes, it morphs. One of the things that we're always guilty of is we say, if I had more money, I could. Or even worse, we look at other people, and we go, if I had their money, if I had their riches, I would manage it so much better than they do. I would do so much greater things. I wouldn't buy that. I would buy this. I'd be more giving. If I could just win the lottery, oh my gosh, you know, it would be amazing. We have these thoughts in our head. I've had those thoughts. We all think this way. If I could only be rich. So how many of us here are filthy rich? You can raise your hand. No? Okay, I was going to have a communication envelope go to your seat. Make sure you know where the website is where we accept giving, okay? Some of you may or might not be, so I appreciate your honesty. If you know somebody filthy rich, point at them. No, just don't do that. I'm kidding. Don't do that. We all think that way. See, our culture is really weird about wealth. We do strange things when it comes to money. We act out in weird ways. We do weird things to get the money. And once we have it, we do weird things with it. It changes who we are. Wealth makes us different. It's linked to our self-worth. So we'll buy things that make us feel like we're a better person. We'll do things. We'll show off in a way because it makes us feel like we're a more refined self. Just because you have money, you know, you're a better human being. And so you can see kind of the fallacy in what I'm saying. So most of us want to be rich, but don't want to admit that we're rich. Some of us, many of us are rich and don't even know it, except the weird thing about it is we have a hard time accepting the compliment of being rich. It's so strange. When somebody comes along and says, you're rich, you're like, no. You know, you want to be humble about it all of a sudden. It's weird. We do weird thing. And rich is really, really never rich enough. Have you ever met anybody that said, I'm rich enough. I got enough money. I'm good. I'm set. See, the problem is the line of rich, that barrier, the crossing, is always moving. It's like a target you can never hit. You're always searching for it. And once you think that you've made it or you think the idea of what it is, it's moved again. Somebody else has moved it for you. In your own mind, you've moved it. There's no one day that you wake up and you're like, okay, I'm just waiting for that next paycheck. All right, we got in the bank. Honey, we did it. We're rich. We've made it. Let's put it on Facebook. Let's let everybody know how much money we have now because we're rich. No, that doesn't happen. You hit that paycheck and you're like, I need another one. I'm not at rich yet. I need another one. I need more wealth. I need more. I need a higher paying job because these checks aren't enough to get me to my goals. It's always moving. You can never catch it. See, humans have never changed. Throughout history, humans have been the same way. There's been kingdoms that have been built on riches, and it's never enough. So they go out and conquer other kingdoms to take their riches, and that wasn't enough. The line was always moving for them, so they were always searching for more. See, because of this, we can find some great stuff in Scripture that talks about how to be rich, what it means to have wealth. And specifically today, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 6. And Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. See, Timothy is now doing the ministry. He's on his way. He's doing his thing. And Paul's like, hey, let me give you some instruction because you're going to run into some rich people. Right? And rich people are weird. And they do weird things. And it's not, you're not going to be able to understand them sometimes because money just brings the weirdness out of people. And so let me give you some instructions. So we get some directions on how to deal with weird humans with wealth. So in 1 Timothy 6:17, in the Bible app, or it'll be on the screens, follow along with me. It says, as for the rich in the present age, so it's like in this time, charge them. Basically saying command them. Charge them to not be haughty. So haughty, if you don't know, is basically being arrogant, supremacist, like that you think that you're above everybody. So don't be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Do you hear that? Ready to share. That's a hard one. Thus, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of which is truly life. You see, every blessing that we get from God, if we don't turn it back to praise, it can turn into pride. Because we think that we made that happen. When we don't acknowledge the one who provides everything for us to enjoy, it can turn into pride. So you can see some of what we're going to talk about today will relate back to last series, and they're kind of close. Money and pride tend to go hand in hand. And it's not that God wants us to be poor. See, that's an illusion. God doesn't want you to feel guilty for being rich. He doesn't want you to feel guilty for having wealth. He wants you to have it. It says right here that He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to have it. He wants it to be good in your life. He wants you to do good works with it, to be good with it. So ultimately, God just wants us to be better at being rich. He wants us to be better at it. He doesn't want us to be poor. So the Gallup poll, if you don't know the Gallup poll is it's this big organization that does all these polling to find out what's the national average of things. And so they had an idea. It's like, okay, we're always talking about wealth. America, wealth is big. And so let's find out what people think wealthy is. What do they think when they have stacks on stacks? When do they hit that point? What is rich? So they polled numerous income brackets. And the findings might surprise some of you. But also, it might be a something that we've learned today. So they polled people that make 30,000, right? They polled people that made 30,000. They said, okay, you make 30,000 now. Obviously, they asked the question, do you think you're rich? They say no. Okay, what would you need to be rich? So people that make 30,000, what they said, I need 74,000. If I can make 74,000, then I'll be rich, right? So most of us have made that in our time. I've thought this at a certain time in my life. And then they move on to the next bracket, and they say, okay, people that make 50,000, how much would you need to be rich? Their answer changed. It moved up. They need 100K. See, they were closer to 74, But they moved it up to 100K. And so most of us are probably in that range. And so the top earners, just to jump ahead, the top earners around us, the people that are like heads of companies, making the major bucks, making the most money on a regular yearly basis, they say that they would have to make a year $5 million a year to be rich. And we were like, duh, okay? Duh, $5 million, I think that would cover it. You could call yourself rich. So talk to the man that's making $2 million a year, and he says he's not rich. You see the? Do you see the dichotomy there? You see where it kind of messes up in our heads, where it's not logical. So when I had my first job, straight out of college, I got my first job as a youth pastor, okay? It was a church up in the Dallas area, Rockwall to be specific, and they told me, you're going to make $30,000 a year. I went back to Hannah, I was like, honey, we are rich. Oh my gosh. I went from making no money in college, now I'm making $30,000 a year? The things that we could do with that money. I quickly found out that I was not. When we moved to Rockwall from Houston, and I had to pay a mortgage, not a mortgage, I paid a lease that was $1,100 a month. $1,100 a month, people, that is cheap, okay? I had to pay $1,100 a month, then I had to pay for all our food, and then we had to pay for insurance. It kind of stacked up and stacked up, and then I realized we're starting to live paycheck to paycheck, and luckily it was just the two of us. I'm starting to wonder if we even need this dog and the food that it eats, you know? All of a sudden, we weren't rich anymore. But I had this friend who got a job at a bigger church. You know, it worked out for them. You know, they end up with this bigger job, and they were making $45,000 a year. And I was like, honey, if I could make $45,000 a year, we'd be rich. I would have made it. Okay, life went on. Our marriage is going awesome. So when your marriage is going awesome, typically it happens, you make spawns of yourself. If you need to explain that, we can talk later, okay? But that happens. You know, you have children, and then you throw children in the equation. And then that line goes further up. $45,000 is not enough anymore. Because those kids need diapers. They need formula. They need car seats. They need multiple different seats to go in the seat in the car. So it's like boom, 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 stacks up. And so every year they I don't know who tells us. Someone out there in the world of legal places tells us that we need to get our kid a different seat because of the size. And that's like $300. It gets expensive. Because life is going good, $45,000 wasn't enough anymore. Rich wealth is always a moving target. You may be making money now, or you may be making more money now. The thing is, you never feel like you're rich. You never feel like you've made it. And if you're making it now, you feel like you're set, right? There's nobody in here that would probably agree that they are set, that they've made enough money. It's only probably to retirement where they can plan out the rest of the years of their life where they can go, okay, we're okay. We can make it through and live a good life. And see, the reason for that is because we are consumers. Because you make more, you end up consuming more. Because you have that extra in your bank account, all of a sudden you decide your life previously wasn't enough. What you had, what you were eating, what you were driving wasn't enough. You had to upgrade. Oh man, the word upgrade is a thing, okay? That's like its own, oh geez, we just went through upgrading phones. Man, it's a whole thing. Upgrade. You got to upgrade. They push us and they push us. The culture, the market, you got to upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. And that's great. And I love technology. But over time, the riches that you have, the extra, is not there anymore because you are consuming. You always have to go to the next tier. See, the rich game is a nasty cycle. It's always moving. So you never feel rich. Even though you've made more money, you never feel rich. You're not, because you don't feel rich, you're not going to act rich. You're not going to act that way. And you're always trying to get more money. And you end up deciding because of this cycle, this nasty cycle, that you will never be rich. I'll never make enough money. And so the scale just keeps moving and moving and moving until you make $5 million, okay, a year. When you hit $5 million, though, you've made, all right, according to the Gallup poll. But that is by far some unachievable stuff. So when it comes to money and come in the direction of money, I understand it's confusing.
So today, we're going to clear up some confusion, all right? And we're going to look to Scripture, and we're going to find out what God says about it, because money is linked to a lot of things in us, our self-esteem, our pride, the way we love others, and so it can turn gray, and it can turn confusing, so we're going to clear it up today. So we have some good news and some bad news for you guys, all right? What do y'all want first? Good news, bad news? Okay, it's in the notes as good news, so we're going to go with good news, okay? That's where we're going to start, all right? Not that I devalue your decision, but we're going to start with good news. All right, here's the good news, guys. Listen carefully, write this down. You are rich, okay? You're rich. Every person in this room is rich, all of you. And I know immediately what you're thinking is like, no, I'm not. I'm not rich. I don't have this. Yes, you are rich because you have rich people opportunities. You have opportunities in your life, things that you take for granted. Things like you can actually upgrade your technology. You have option for that. If you have kids, or if you've been, as a kid growing up, if you have the option to play sports, you're rich. The fact that you can go somewhere and there's a field, there's a place to do that. You can buy things to do that sport. You have extracurricular activities. You are rich. The fact that you have access to books that you can read whenever you want to, you are rich. The fact that you can go to a place that is full of books, called a library, and have any option of what you want, you are rich. If you can take music lessons, you're rich. If you can have your teeth straightened, if you're a kid at one time, or if you've had kids and you had to straighten their teeth, that's a miracle. Okay, there's places in the world that can't do that. You are rich because of that. The options are there. If you can have a surgery to make your body better, you are rich. Rich people opportunities can save us time. If you can go to a car wash and pay $8 rather than having to wash it by yourself to save you some time, you're rich. Some people would love that option all around the world. If you're able to have a sitter, pay for a babysitter to watch your children so you can improve upon your marriage, you're rich. You have the option for that. If you can pay extra so you don't have to watch commercials on Hulu, you're rich. You are rich. If you have a connection to the internet where you can surf the world wide webs and look up whatever you want, you're rich. You don't have to go without. If a surprise expense comes up and your family is still able to eat the next day, you are rich. You have rich people opportunities. And these things really make a difference in our lives if you didn't have them. There's a man in Scripture, his name is Solomon. Solomon is by far the wisest man who have ever walked this earth. And he was the wisest man because God blessed him with wisdom. And so every word that he said was wise. And so right now we're going to look at what he has to say about riches and about being wealthy. In Ecclesiastes 5:19, this is what he said. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and the power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is a gift from God. You are rich. God doesn't want you to feel bad about it because he gave it to you as a gift. Your wealth, your possessions, your ability to gain any of that, you are rich. And it was all given to us. And anything that's not given back as praise can turn into pride, because then we can think it's on our own. And I don't want to be heartless. Now, I understand that some of you probably have medical bills that are piling up on you. Some are in between jobs, and that's a struggle right now. Some of you are a single parent, and you have multiple jobs, or work really long hours to support your kids, and you don't feel rich. But let's be real for a moment here. So the majority of us, probably all of us, have the ability to get in some kind of air-conditioned vehicle when we leave this building, and we can drive by many restaurants to pick what we want, and then we go home and we pull whatever that hot meal is out, and then we can take, in our air-conditioned home, by the way, and then we can take that phone that has unlimited data plan on it, and we can send a picture of our food to the world saying what we got to eat today. you're doing all right, okay? You're doing pretty good if you can achieve any of that after we leave here today. So let's be real. We are all rich. If you own a vehicle, you are in the top 3% of the world. Do you realize that? You are in the top 3% of the world if you own a vehicle. If you have a home, you're also in that 3%. If you have multiple cars, oh man, you're even more rich. If you're able to drive, take the family and drive past multiple restaurants to pick the favorite one because they got the garlic bread that goes in the oil that you just love, you are rich. You have rich people options. If you are able to eat more than you need, you're fat rich, okay? I'm fat rich, all right? I might not have it in my hand, but it's on me somewhere, okay? I've eaten it in some form or fashion. If you're able to order an appetizer before your meal, you are rich. If you're able to decide what you're going to have that day, you are rich. And some people around the world, they go, yeah, in America, these people, they have houses where they have a room for every person. They have a house outside for the dog. They have another room just for their car to put in to keep it safe, to protect it from the elements. Some of them have two cars in there. Some have a third space just for the junk they can't fit in their house. Some pay for another house connected to a bunch of little houses that they just put their stuff that they don't know what to do with, and they pay for that. And then they have these other rooms where it has all their clothes, and they're all hung up, and they walk in, and they rub all their clothes, and they go, I have nothing to wear. They're so rich, they have nothing to wear, even though that's all in front of them. Nobody says that. Nobody says, honey, we're rich. We can remove all anxiety out of our life because we've made it. There's no relief from it. The line is always moving. We never feel rich because we are always consuming everything that God has given us. So instead of being happy for what we have, we always have to consume, consume, consume. Over 3 billion people that live in this world live on less than $2 a day. For you, that sucks, all right? I'm sorry for my language, but that sucks, okay? For you, that sucks. That's terrible. $2 a day? What can I do with that? I can't even go to the coffee shop with that. I can't buy a regular cup. But to some people around this world, 3 billion of them would go, that's a blessing. That's an amazing thing. If you make $33,000 or more in a year, you are a 1% earner of this world. If you have a household income that's $80,000 or more, you are in the 0.1% of top earners in this world. Guys, if you don't understand it yet, you are rich. And so before you can be good at being rich, you first have to admit one thing, and I want you guys to say it with me, okay? All together, I am rich. Say it one more time. I am rich. You are rich. Does that make you uncomfortable? Why? Because every part of your riches is a blessing. It was a gift given to you. When Gage asked me, he says, Dad, are we rich? And I was like, you know, doing the series, and I'm like, yeah, son, we're rich. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go tell somebody. And I'm like, no, don't tell anybody that. Don't tell anybody that we're rich. Please don't. You know, they don't want to hear that the pastor is rich, okay? That gets some bad publicity. We don't need that in our lives. Why are we always apologizing for the blessing of being rich? When somebody comes to you and says, man, you have a great marriage, do you go, no, it's okay, you know, no. You go, no, my marriage is great, you're right. When somebody comes to you and says, man, you got an awesome car, you're like, no, it's a piece of junk. No, you say, thank you so much. When somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, you're looking great. Have you lost weight? And you're like, well, yes, I have, when you know you put on 5 pounds, all right? But when it comes to money, we have a hard time accepting that compliment. When somebody says, you're rich, you want to go, no, I'm not. I'm not rich, because in our heads, we can never feel that way because we're constantly consuming what's in front of us. So in Luke, we're going to look at this real quick. In Luke, So write this down. Before we jump to that, I want you to write this down right now. If you can write, put it in your phone, whatever you got to do. I want you to put that God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. Now, every day that you wake up, I want you to say that, okay? I want you to write it down. I want you to pray about it. I want you to thank God for it because you are rich. All right, now here's the bad news. Y'all ready for the bad news? Prepare yourself. Are you sitting down? Okay, good. You are rich, all right? That's the bad news. It's also the good news, but it's also the bad news. You are rich. And because of that, there's complications. You have a lot of stuff. There's a man that we're talking about. Now we're getting to Luke. We're talking about the rich young ruler. Okay, some of you have heard of it. So basically, in Jesus' ministry, there's this rich man that comes to him and he says, "Hey Jesus, how can I get into heaven?" And based on their current teachings, he goes, "Follow the commandments." He says, "I have. I've done that. I've followed them all." And he goes, "Okay, now sell all your possessions and give away the money." The guy was so torn. It was such, the wealth had such a power over him that he couldn't do it. And so this is what he says. This is what Jesus says about the situation right after that. He said in Luke 18, 24 through 25, it says, "Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, 'How difficult is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven.'" And all you go, "You just told me I'm rich. I'm doomed." Okay, so there's a translation here. And if you've ever heard it before, the camel through the eye of a needle, there's a lot of talk, a lot of scholars like, what does that even mean? There's three schools of thought. The first one, it means what it says it means. A camel through the eye of a needle. All right, which would be impossible. You need a miracle to make that happen. The second thing is they believe that there was a gateway through the wall to Jerusalem that was real small, that was called the eye of the needle because it was small, and to get a camel through it would be nearly impossible. The camel would have to take everything off of it, get down on its knees, humble itself, and be guided through the hole. Meaning that removing pride, moving all those things. And the other one is that maybe camel actually meant cable. Maybe the translation was bad. And that it was harder to fit a cable, like an actual, you think like an anchor cable, something very large, through the eye of a needle. What you would have to do is you would unravel and take away from the cable to eventually get it through the eye of the needle. So, which one is right? All of them. It doesn't matter. The main meaning is there. It's because the first one is not logical. The second one, there's actually no proof of that passageway ever existed. And the last one is from a dead language. And it's hard to prove if cable really meant camel or whatever is right. So, but regardless of the explanation, whether it's impossible, you need a miracle with Jesus, or you have to humble yourself so much that it takes everything away from you, all of it, we need Jesus. All of it, we need Jesus. The only way for a rich person to get to heaven, just like anybody else, is that they need Jesus. We cannot do this under our own power. So we are at a major spiritual disadvantage. We're at a major spiritual disadvantage because of wealth and the power that it has over us. And so these are the problems with being rich. This is the reason why it's bad news that you are rich. The first thing is that it's harder for you to depend on God. Have you ever said the daily prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done"? Okay, there's a part of it that says, "I give us this day our daily bread." Some of you had never actually had to mean that prayer because your pantry was always stocked with bread. You never had to wonder where that bread was going to come from. And so because of that, your depending on God was less. That's one of the problems, one of the difficulties of being rich. You've never had to actually ask for a lot of things because you're already blessed with it. It's a distraction from the true priorities in your life. It's a distraction. So, if you're a follower of Christ, and any follower of Christ, a real follower of Christ, let me put that that way, they would agree that church is a major priority in your life. Everybody agree? If I disagree? Okay, good. You had your opportunity. you would agree that it's a very major priority, okay? But because you're rich and you have rich people distractions in your life, you're busy. You don't always come. You have, because your job takes you other places. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to, let's look at this, what it for really it is. You're busier. You have more demands in your life, so you're not able to make it every week. And you end up only making it like once or twice a month. You have more options not to come to church. See, that's cool. One of the great things about the city is that there's so many cool things to do. You got all kinds of games, all kinds of sporting events to do. And so you're like, oh, I think I'm going to go over there just because I have the option. You have rich people problems. You have rich people distractions because you have options. Some of us can go on vacations for a whole summer instead of coming to church. Now, when I say coming to church, I'm not meaning come here and listen to me squawk for, 30, 40 minutes. No, I'm talking about coming together with other believers and connecting because it's necessary. You need that to keep your faith up, to stay strong. You need people to encourage you in your faith. And so that's something that we need weekly. The early church, it was not convenient as it is today. The early church knew that they needed each other so much that they worked on their Sabbath, on their Sunday, whatever it may be, they worked. So they would come in before work. Could you imagine if we had church before work on Monday? Nobody would come, okay? Nobody would be here. They would come in before work, gather together, sing hymns together, discuss what it means to be a follower of Christ, and then go on about their way and complete their full work day. And their full work day was probably 12 hours, not 8 hours, okay? It wasn't convenient, but they knew it to be a priority. I'm not telling you this to make you feel guilty, but I'm telling you, you need to figure out what your priorities are. You are able to disconnect because if you're rich, the technology, family dinner is not family dinner anymore. You get distracted to the point where you can't gather together and focus on the priority of your family because you have the riches to go to the concert, to watch TV, to look at the phone, whatever it may be. It changes your priorities. The wealth that's meant to be a blessing and propel you in life ends up being a distraction from the true priorities that you have. The last thing, the last problem, is you have a greater responsibility. You have a greater responsibility. The more riches, the more you have, the more that God has given you, the more he expects from you. The more responsibility you have in your life, tremendous responsibility comes when God has given us something. And Jesus, as Jesus has said in Scripture, much is given, much is expected. So the bad news for us is most of it's using our wealth on ourselves instead of being a blessing to others because we're consumers and we take that blessing, we use it on ourselves, and that's the bad news. Because when God richly gives, he richly gives. He expects us to richly give as well, richly love on one another, be a blessing to others. In Scripture, we find this in 1 Timothy 6:18 through 19. I'm going to repeat it again, what we read earlier. I'm going to remind you, God wants you to be good at being rich. And this is what it says. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of what which is truly life. Jesus gives you blessings so that you can give them away, so that you can get richer in heaven, so that you can store up more riches in his eyes. And when he begins to see that you will be responsible for the wealth that he has given you, what's he going to do? He's going to invest more in you. He's going to give more to you so that you can give more out and be a blessing. And we get to mimic God in this action, which is truly the epitome of being rich. Jesus wants us to charge. Paul's command is to charge the rich to be good at being rich. When you're given more, more is required. I have these friends that I work with. I've grown up with them, and they were unable to have a child, right? And that's could be a devastating thing when you want to have a child and you can't have a child. But there's options, right? So they decided maybe we should adopt, okay? And so when they started on this journey, it was a long journey. It was years. When they would go to ask, can we adopt? Even though They are in the top earner, probably 3%, 1% of the world. The agencies that let you adopt tells you that you're not rich enough. You don't have enough wealth. And they just accepted what that is. So later on in life, their hearts were so big that they wanted to bless their riches. They wanted to give. And they wanted to welcome more into their family to spread that wealth with. They decided one day, hey, we are rich. I don't care what these agencies say. We have the wealth that is needed to take care of a child. And we can do this. And so years later, they decided we're just going to go for it and we're going to pursue it. God opened doors for them. He made way. He gave them favor. And one of those beautiful things that can happen is they were able to take home a little baby girl. And it's been an amazing, amazing thing being able to follow them on Facebook as they get to show off this baby girl because they now get to share their wealth with this child. Blessing others with the wealth that God has given you is one of the most beautiful things that you can do in this life. One of the most honoring things. Because to you, much is given, much is required from you. So, Jesus charges you, each and every one of you, to be rich. Be good at being rich. Stop feeling bad about it. Stop feeling like you're not. You'll never catch that line. So start saying it today. And let's say it all together, everybody. I am rich. Depend on God and not on money and things. Focus on the true priorities of your life. Don't let wealth get in the way of that. And be rich in a way that honors God. Rich in good deeds. God bless me with more than I need. I am rich. God has blessed us with more than we need, so we are rich. So use your wealth. No, I want you to walk out here and say, I am rich, I am blessed, so what am I going to do? I'm going to bless others. Guys, you have stacks on stacks. And I am super excited about this series and where it's going to take us because it's going to mold us closer to the wealth and the riches that how God wants us to use them. So I'm going to pray, and you're going to be dismissed. Thank you so much for being here today, and let's do this. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. Thank you for the blessings. Jesus, we don't deserve the riches and the wealth that you give us, but you love us so much that you give it to us anyways. Lord, I thank you for the talents, the treasures, the families that come together to spread the wealth. Lord, help us be better at being rich. Help us know that we are rich so that we can be a blessing to others and not just consume everything that you give us. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. Bless us as we go. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.